Hi, welcome to The Pipeline, all things CD and DevOps podcast by the CD Foundation. I am your host, Jacqueline Salinas, Director of Ecosystem and Community Development. Thanks so much for joining us. It's episode 27 of season 2, and I am joined by our guest speaker, Christian Hernandez. Christian is a technologist with experience in infrastructure engineering, systems administration, enterprise architecture, tech support, and management. Passionate about open source and cloud native architecture, in his current role at Red Hat, he focuses on Kubernetes and GitOps practices. He is currently the host of the GitOps Guide to the Galaxy, a show dedicated to GitOps on OpenShift TV. Today's topic is managing storage via GitOps. GitOps is a practice of DevOps teams that use Git as a source of truth for their Kubernetes platform. Using GitOps, the entire system described declaratively, the canonical desired system state versioned in Git and approved changes that can be automatically applied to the system. This gives you the advantage to quickly restore from a disaster. This is great for stateless applications, but what about your stateful applications? So today we are going to be talking about the challenges with managing storage in your GitOps workflows. And in addition, Christian will dive into some tips and tricks to help you along your GitOps journey. But before we dive into managing storage via GitOps, we are going to kick off the episode with my DevOps journey. Christian, will you share your DevOps journey with us?
Yeah, well, it's one of those questions like, wow, where do I start? It feels like I've always been in that mindset of DevOps, but I think really my DevOps journey started at my second or third job right out of college. I was in a startup. Right. And like everything in a startup, everything, you kind of do a little bit of everything, right? Small IT team, you kind of do everything from soup to nuts. So my DevOps journey really, really started in being able to deliver the infrastructure for our developers to be able to develop more rapidly. And with that came in with a lot of just the automation. So some of the tools set up back at that time was using things like Puppet, Chef to really describe your infrastructure as code and to be able to quickly deploy that. And just being part of that, being part of the small team at my startup that I was a part of really had me doing a lot of automation out of necessity, really, being in a startup, right? Being in a small team, you almost have to do it as a necessity. They say necessity is a mother of invention. And so that's really where my DevOps journey really started. And that evolved into things like working with Ansible, and then later on working with OpenShift. So working with OpenShift at Red Hat. And then eventually I did actually jump to Red Hat to work on the OpenShift product. So that's kind of, my beginnings of doing DevOps. And as OpenShift evolved, as Kubernetes came into the space, I really latched on to that sort of, automated infrastructure, automated way of abstracting really some of the stuff that needed to be abstracted in order to have developers, code faster, to be first to market, that sort of thing. It inevitably led me from doing this whole Kubernetes, riding that Kubernetes train, led me inadvertently, or I guess just naturally, actually more specifically to GitOps. And that's kind of been where I've been focusing my time for this past 1 or 2 years.
Very cool. Thanks so much for sharing that with us. So as we mentioned today, we're going to be talking about managing storage with GitOps. So before we dive into that, I guess, and a good icebreaker is, why is GitOps such a hot topic right now?
Yeah, it seems like it came out of nowhere, and which is kind of funny, because if you talk to people, a lot of SREs out there, a lot of people out in the industry, they're like, wait a minute, GitOps doesn't sound like anything different that we're doing. And then the reality of that is, it really isn't much different from what SREs and from DevOps people have been doing all this time. So GitOps is really a phrase that was coined by Weaveworks. Alexis, he tells a great story. If you guys ever get a chance for him to tell the story of how he coined GitOps. It's such a great story. But in essence, they had an outage and they were and they came back up online really quick. And, you know, and the question was from Alexis was, wait, hey, how do we get up so quick? And he talked to his SREs, and SREs were kind of explaining their practices. And he found it very interesting. And he kind of like, oh, this is kind of like GitOps, right? And kind of it's meant to be an earworm, right? It's meant to be catchphrasey, right? And GitOps is, I think, a hot topic now because of the introduction or the popularity of Kubernetes, right? So as I always said, GitOps are things that we've always wanted to do, are things that we've been doing. But now Kubernetes makes it a lot easier. Cloud native architecture, cloud native, you know, all this ecosystem that was built around Kubernetes, and you know that fast bullet train that we have on Kubernetes, and how everyone's jumping on that, and you know, building massive infrastructures using Kubernetes. Now we're able to do all those crazy things we're thinking about, long time ago, is you know, having immutable infrastructure, having the ability to quickly roll out new releases, and you know, having exact duplicate copies of infrastructure, being able to spin those up really, really quickly. I mean, now that's now we can do that, and now we can do that reliably. And I think GitOps is such a hot topic because it's like, hey, you know, all this stuff that you know took us a lot of you know coding and scripting to get just right now is almost built into the platform with Kubernetes. So I think GitOps is DevOps practices winning, right? So like we've always been talking about DevOps practices and how that can transform your infrastructure. And I think GitOps is proof that you know it's essentially like the end goal, right? It's essentially something we've always wanted to do. DevOps engineers always wanted to do, and now we can do it. And I think it's such a hot topic now because really, you know, when I talk about GitOps, I always talk about Kubernetes, because Kubernetes enabled us to be able to do all the things that GitOps wants us to do.
Awesome. Thanks so much for that. So what are some of the challenges GitOps aims to overcome?
Yeah. So the GitOps principles is really centered around, like I said before, Kubernetes and the reconciliation loop. And it really, from a really, really high level, GitOps aims to overcome or solve the issue of drift, right? And so that's kind of been a big thing. And it's especially even back then when using things like Puppet or Chef, or in, you know, any other of these infrastructure as code tools, and later on Ansible, is that they aim to solve like that drift from an infrastructure standpoint. GitOps really takes it to the next layer up, right? So from a overarching, so not just for your infrastructure standpoint, not from the infrastructure as a code standpoint, but from your applications as well. So it kind of aims to overcome the drift that not only comes in your infrastructure, but you're also your application code, and being able to manage clusters, right? Kubernetes clusters at scale, to be able to manage that as a fleet. GitOps really really fits into that as a solution for that, right? So for the longest time, we're talking about in the Kubernetes land, we're talking about federation, right? Kubernetes federation was a big thing, because we had this concept of, okay, we had a Kubernetes cluster instead of having a single Kubernetes cluster. We actually, you know, that does everything. We actually have multiple Kubernetes clusters spread across multiple sites, you know, multi-region, you know, out there in the world. There needed to be a way to manage all of that. And GitOps really aims to solve that with a single source of truth, right? Using Git as a single source of truth. Let's not do anything different. Let's use our normal Git workflows, and let's build a controller that then just kind of reconciles all of that for us. So then GitOps really aims to not only prevent drift, but to manage clusters as a fleet. on top of that, GitOps also has the, since you put everything in Git, since you're driving everything through Git workflows, and since Git is a source of truth, you can really get other members of your organization involved, especially the security groups, right? Security teams. Now, all of a sudden, you have a convenient log trail, right? Audit trail of how your cluster has changed over time. How's your fleet has changed over time. So I've always said that GitOps is at the heart of a lot of these ops, right? Star ops, splat ops sort of thing, where it's like people are talking about DevSecOps, people are talking about AI ML ops. Really, GitOps is at the heart of that, right? That's your cornerstone. That's where you start because you're using that single source of truth, and it makes a lot of these other things easier, like security, like management, right? We talk about operations as pull requests. So it aims to kind of bring together everyone, kind of like in the ideas what we had of DevOps, is bringing all the teams together to work together. GitOps basically forces that, since you're running everything through a Git repo.
Very cool. Thank you for diving into that. So what are some of the caveats when it comes to GitOps?
Yeah. So there's a few things that people need to be made aware of, right? Where you're running GitOps. For GitOps, some of the caveats is the same caveat as with cloud native architecture. GitOps just inherits that because it's built on top of that. Your stateless applications are always the easiest, right? Are they always the easiest to manage? I saw a talk one day from Christian Posa, actually, who's now at Solo. He says the problem is always your data, right? In cloud native. And that still holds true today, right? So some of the caveats with GitOps is managing your storage, really being able to see that paradigm of, the abstracting paradigm of persistent volumes of persistent storage in relation to your application, right? So a big, big part of GitOps and what it provides is be able to restore, right? So you have the ability, the promise of, hey, if you ever had an outage, you just restore your YAML, right? Because it's all in Git. You just reapply it and you're back on to where you were, before the loss. And that is true, except when it comes to, the devil's always in the details. When it comes to your stateful applications, that could be an issue. Because you have to think about a lot of things when, not only your stateless applications, but if you're running stateful applications, there's the underlying storage to take care of as well. And to manage that in a GitOps fashion is currently a challenge, right? It's something you need to think about when you are, venturing in your journeys with GitOps.
Okay, some stuff to be aware of. All right, let's see. What are some things people need to keep in mind when working with stateful applications?
Yeah, so in like I mentioned before, the issue of the stateful applications is something to be aware of, especially in GitOps. So some of the things like where your storage is and your backup mechanisms and your backup routines. A lot of that stuff stays the same even when doing GitOps, even when doing cloud native. You still need to make backups of your storage. You still need to make sure that backup is replicated somewhere else. You need to make sure you're testing your backups. And with a stateful application with GitOps, you still need to keep those in mind. So there's a lot of things where, for instance, when running specifically on OpenShift, when you're running a stateful application with persistent storage, OpenShift runs the application as a random user ID. So then when you restore that application and it tries to mount the storage, the user IDs don't match. And all of a sudden your stateful application doesn't work because the user ID is wrong. So you need to keep some of those things in mind where it's like, okay, well, if I'm going to run a stateful application using GitOps, I need to keep in mind the fact that when I restore this, some of the things that Some of the things that that need to change along after I restore it, right? There needs to be some sort of a post-restore process that makes sure the fact that your stateful application, the way it's running, is appropriate for the storage, right? And the storage, and you know, it's like a puzzle piece, right? You need to make sure those two pieces fit together, because they may not be the same, right? Anytime you restore, you can introduce some sort of environmental differences and some things that you know you need to keep in mind with your stateful application. So, you know, stateless applications usually are pretty straightforward, right? These usually are the easiest to deal with. Stateless applications are usually the easiest to deal with. Stateful applications, you need to keep that storage aspect in mind. And just because you're doing cloud native doesn't mean you can stop doing those practices of doing storage backups, especially if you're running a database on Kubernetes. You need to keep some of those things in mind. For instance, in the database, it has its own restore mechanism, right? It's not just backup and restore. It needs to go through its own restore process, and you need to keep in mind what those are. So
great. So what are some of the best practices you'd recommend for those folks who want to get started using GitOps?
Yeah. So some of the best practices, again, keeping in mind of stateful applications. A lot, it's really tempting, and I'm guilty of this too, to use the dynamic persistent volume claims, doing that dynamic storage provisioning. But really having a one-to-one mapping of your stateful application and your storage is going to make life a lot easier. That way another application can't claim that storage when it comes online. You have a one-to-one mapping. I know this storage is using this, this application is using this specific storage. And since you're using, since you make that mapping and you're using a specific user ID, right, which is another thing that I recommend, is that have a specific user ID for your applications. So that way, it makes recovery easier. The better way is that when you're restoring, just make sure that you have a process that will fix those permissions for you, or may do any other post sync hook. So some of the best practices, I say, from my experience, from personal experience, is that you build a one-to-one relationship from your stateful application to its storage backend. Try to keep, don't use dynamic storage unless it's a stateless application, right? For your stateful applications, sort of use that one-to-one mapping for persistent volume claim. Just now speaking just in general, if you want to, get some of the best practices, getting started in GitOps. I'm actually part of the GitOps working group in the CNCF, right? So some of the things there, we kind of post our best practices. I invite everyone to come and join, take a part of the GitOps working group. That's opengitops.dev, right? We're there. We are a vendor neutral, right, group in the CNCF, open source, all that good stuff. And there's some of the, I want to say not best practices, but some of the principles are up there as well in opengitops.dev. Things to take a look at, like, you want your, everything is declarative, right? And it's always declarative desired state. Make sure you use things like immutable versioning, right, which is where the Git and GitOps is, right? Because it's an immutable version. Have your GitOps controller, right? There's a ton out there, whether you're using Argo CD, whether you're using Flux or any of those other tools. Make sure that reconciliation is happening to prevent that drift. The final thing to keep in mind is that everything is through pull requests, right? And everything is through mutating that declared state. And so, keeping those things in mind, keeping the principles in mind, you can build a GitOps workflow around those principles.
Well, thank you so much, Christian, for joining us today. I really appreciate your time and your expertise on managing storage with GitOps.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.